Cool. Well, we are quite late into the service, but we're going to get to the message now. And we're just starting a new series on prayer, which I introduced last week. If we can get that up, please, Pam. It's called Prayer, Exploring the Possibilities. And something I did last Sunday I'd like to do again is just start off the message with a declaration of what we believe. And so I'd like to get that up and invite you to say this with me if you believe these things as well. This is what we're declaring starting off the message. We believe that God is who He says He is, that God will do what He says He will do, that I am who He says I am, that I can do all things through Him, and that His Word is alive and active in my life. Amen. Well, I don't know about the rest of you parents in the recent holidays that we had, how you kept your children stimulated and entertained. I always found it a bit challenging, but one day I decided to take them to the mall to do some rides and go and watch a movie at the cinema, kiddies movie. And I love the kiddies movies these days. They tend to be better than the adult movies, the animated ones. And they've seen one movie before in the cinema, but they hadn't watched a 3D movie before. So this was a new novel thing for them. And so we go and start the movie, and it all comes up blurry if you don't have the glasses on. And so I'd got glasses for them and took out the glasses and gave them their glasses. And suddenly the blurry picture came to life. And so they start watching the trailers. The movie hasn't even started yet. And our son Daniel sees something coming out of the screen towards him, the 3D effect. And so he gets on his knees on his chair and he starts trying to reach to grab this thing. That's how much it brought it to life for him, which I thought was hilarious. But you know what? The same thing happens for us spiritually in life. Things in our daily lives, the things of this world, make our view of life become distorted. We get a bit of a distorted perspective on life. And it's only through prayer that in a way we put on God's glasses, spiritual glasses, that we can see life clearly as it's intended to be. That's what I'm speaking about this morning. And so the title of the message is Put on God's Glasses, Gaining Perspective Through Prayer. And the key text for this morning's message is from Psalm 46, verse 10. God says, Be still and know that I am God. Listen to that as though He's speaking to you. The whole of Psalm 46 is this man writing. Jerusalem was in a situation where they were under attack, they were being besieged, and he's calling on God for help, God to protect them, and suddenly in verse 10, God speaks and just says, Be still and know that I am God. That is how we put on God's glasses. I'll come back to that just now to unpack it. But first, I'd like to give you an illustration on this thing of gaining perspective. One of Stacey and my favorite pastimes is going camping and hiking, something we haven't done much, pretty much since we had children, and now coming to ministry, it's not made it so easy, but something we really enjoy. And probably my two favorite hikes we've done have been up at the amphitheater by Royal Natal. If you can go to that, Pam. So that's a shot of the amphitheater in the background, and in the foreground is the Tugela River, and we'll come back to that just now. Towards the right, Gavin will be able to tell me if I'm right or wrong, I don't have a pointer, but towards the right up there is where the Tugela Falls comes down pretty much, off there. And so it's great for us having snow up there now, because that's going to mean a whole lot of water coming down into our dams. So that's a view from the bottom. And you do two hikes. The one goes along the gorge right to the bottom of the falls, and the other hike goes around the top, on the top of the amphitheater. Sorry? So we can carry on through the slides. This is a shot of the hike up the gorge, getting fairly close to the pools at the bottom of the falls. And these cliffs come over you like a tunnel. It's spectacular. Lovely crystal clear, quite cold pools to dip in. And then you take a little bit of a hike up the left side, and you get that view looking up to Gela Falls and of the amphitheater. It's stunning, but you're pretty much surrounded by mountains. Then on the other hand, the hike to go on the top, we first did it with Doug and Heath and John and Nikki. You've got to drive around, or the easier way is drive around through the Free States by Puta de Jaba, get to Witsie's Hook, and you start off hiking up what's known as the zigzags, which is pretty steep. And once you've got up to the zigzags, you get this view. It's with the sun just about to rise. Gavin is at the Sentinel on this side. The Devil's Tooth across on the right. And the amphitheater is coming this way. So you're looking out from the amphitheater. And it's quite stunning. Just so that you know we were really there. The next one, shot that Doug took of us there when we were a bit younger. And then you start to walk sort of behind the buttress, contouring around for quite a while, and you get to the chain ladders. There's two sets or two sections of chain ladder. The first one is about 40 meters, icy cold chain ladder fastened onto the rocks. So if you have an aversion for heights, that's probably not the way for you. You can try going up the gully. So a 40-meter chain ladder, then a 20-meter chain ladder. Then you're pretty much on top. And it's a fairly flat hike from there to get to the top of the falls when you get a view something like this. Tugela Falls, they say, is the second tallest waterfall in the world, but if you read up on it, there's a pretty good argument that it's actually the tallest waterfall in the world because of the different ways that they've measured this and Angel Falls. So it's an impressive waterfall to sit at the top of. Cascades down in a few sections to the pools. And when you're there, you feel like you are on top of the world. You can just see forever. You can see the little people down the gorge, little dots, little ants crawling around. You can see the Royal Natal Hut a little bit further along. You can see other dams, the Sterkfontein Dam, or what's the one that's down? Woodstock Dam, towns in the distance. And you just have such great perspective compared to when you're down in the gorge surrounded by these mountains. And that's kind of what prayer does for us. When we pray and we go and meet with God, we gain His perspective and put on His glasses, and we can suddenly see our lives so much more clearly. And so the first thing is that prayer offers God's perspective. I don't know about you, but I just find naturally in life, I face a barrage of media day by day. And things that just occur in life start to blur my vision, my perspective on the world around me. And it's through prayer that I meet with God and put on these spiritual glasses and my proverbial myopia is dealt with. Philip Yancey, in his book on prayer, says, "Prayer and only prayer restores my vision to one that more resembles God's." It's only through prayer that we can get God's perspective back on life. But what we typically do in prayer is we start with our own concerns, our own problems, our own burdens, and then go to God. I mentioned last Sunday in the introduction to the series that the Latin word for Therefore, prayer is precarious, from which we get the English word precarious. And so precarious and prayer are actually linguistic cousins. Prayer often comes out of being in a precarious situation. That's often what motivates us to pray to God, to call on Him for help, because we're facing some precarious situation. There was one guy in the Bible who approached God in that way, who had gone through a pretty rough ride. His name was Job. And everything was going wrong in his life. And so he started to grumble to God and saying, this has gone wrong and this has gone wrong. And what are you doing? Can't you see what's going on in my life? I would have expected more from you than this. And he almost started accusing God of everything that was going wrong in his life. Near the end of the book of Job, God answers Job, but not by actually answering his questions, but by asking Job some questions of his own. And God says this, "Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much." Job's response was, "Sorry, Lord, I was out of line." It gave him a serious reality check. It gave him perspective that actually God is so much greater, so much wiser than he had ever thought. And Job repented of that, and then God restored him. But sometimes we come to prayer like that. It's kind of human nature. We start off with the things that are on our minds, the things that we're concerned about, the things that are burdening us. And when we do that, we run the risk of being overwhelmed by these problems that we're focusing on. But when we start with God, and we see how great He is, our perspective changes. And so, Timothy Keller, in his book called Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God, says prayer reorients your view and vision of everything. Prayer brings new perspective because it puts God back in the picture. And when we pray, we've got to pray starting with God, and then the whole picture changes. So, how do we do this? How do we climb the proverbial mountain to meet with God? How do we put on His spiritual glasses to gain perspective on life? The answer to that lies in our key text. Be still and know that I am God. That's how we do it. Obviously, being still to meet with God takes time. And you might say, Paul, I just don't have any more time to give to being still and praying. Where am I supposed to find the time? Life is so busy. But you know what? Prayer is what will change your busy life. Paul Miller, in his book, A Praying Life, says, learning to pray doesn't offer us a less busy life. It offers us a less busy heart in the midst of our outer busyness. I just have the sense that for somebody here today, it's that statement, that truth, which is the thing you really need to take home. Prayer, making time for prayer, is going to take up a little bit of time. It's not going to make your life any less busy. But if it just quietens your heart, if it gives you inner peace, if it quietens the busyness of your heart, that'll make a difference in your life. And so we've got to make a bit of time, carve out a bit of time from our busy schedules to be still and meet with God. The Hebrew word for still here is rapha, which means to cease, to stop, to surrender. So it's not just stopping busyness and activity. It's actually laying down your life. It's surrendering control of your life to God. The Latin Vulgate version of the Bible translates that word as vacate. It's saying vacate control of your life. So God here invites us, or rather instructs us, to go on vacation. He says, get off the director's chair of your life. Get off the throne of your heart. Hand over the reins of your life for a bit. And let me take control. And sometimes that's difficult for us, because that requires a certain level of trust to be able to be still, to surrender your life and let God take over. Can be daunting, but when you do it and God comes in and takes control, it's an awesome feeling. And so take a vacation for a bit. Make time regularly to vacate and allow God to come in. Once you've done that first step, then you're well placed for the second step. Once you're still, you've stepped off the throne, then it's so much easier to know that He is God. And that's the second part. To know that He is God, you've got to consciously acknowledge Him. Be aware of His presence. Not just to start to rush through some prayer or some Bible reading, but to center yourself on God. And then, who is the God that we are knowing? He is almighty. He is sovereign, which means He's in control of everything. He's omnipotent, which means He's all-powerful. He's omniscient, which means He knows everything. He's omnipresent, which means He's everywhere. He's benevolent, which means He's all-loving. And when you start to center yourself on that God, and you realize, actually, God knows about my situation already. He knows about what's going on in my life. He knows my concerns before I did. He knows them better than I do. He cares about them even more than I do. And He is able to do something about it. You've got to know that that changes the way you feel about it. It changes your perspective. And so when you can be still and know that He is God, anxieties subside. Fears are overcome. Peace floods in. And I'm so glad Gus read that scripture, or shared that scripture earlier from Philippians, about bringing your anxiety to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will come and guard your heart and mind. It's when you meet with God that anxiety subsides. Peace comes in. Hopes rise. Ideas are born. Vision is clarified. And courage is fueled. All that happens when you be still and know that He is God. He is powerful and He is good and He cares about you. When you come into that reality, man, your perspective on life will change. But we need to do this regularly, because life will change your perspective from seeing the spiritual reality around you, from seeing life the way God wants you to see it, to whittling it down to this just simple materialistic life. And so when I meet with God and I come out of that, when I come down from the mountain and I look out and I see trees and grass, I'm no longer just seeing trees and grass, I'm seeing an awesome creation which is declaring the praises of our powerful, loving God. I no longer just see a taxi driver who's cut across me, or a beggar that's irritating me standing at the robots. I see a person with destiny in their heart, with the fingerprints of God on their life, made in the image of God. Can you see how it changes one's perspective on the very real world around you? And so the second point is grace flows downstream. We get to the top of the mountain, meet with God first, start with God, and then you get into His flow of what He's doing. But we tend to start at the bottom with where we are at, with my concerns. I know Phil has done the doozy. Anyone else here that's done the doozy? I won't put up my hand because I haven't. Doozy Canoe Marathon. Phil is the man. Phil, have you done the down pedal or the up pedal? Both. You are the man. You do that with a comrade. The doozy, as far as I know, they only go down. It would be pretty darn near impossible to pedal up from Durban to Maritzburg. And the same is true with God. If you're trying to go upstream, it's going to be hard going. We meet with Him, gain His perspective, see what His will is, what He wants to do in the situation, and you can get into the flow of what God is doing. And so grace flows downstream. Grace and mercy and blessing always flow to where the point of need is. Grace doesn't go up to the heavens. It comes down to earth where there are very real needs. And so we've got to get in the stream and the flow of what God is doing and go with His flow. Isn't that what Jesus teaches us to pray? In the Lord's Prayer, His model prayer for believers, He says, start off praying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. We've got to start off focusing on God, honoring God, and then we can get into the nitty-gritty of our lives. When I preach, I like to share about stuff that I've experienced, that we've experienced, share from our own lives, not to boast, not to focus on ourselves, but because I think it's important that we are living out the same stuff that I'm preaching about. And so Stacy and I have been having to face this recently with her work situation. A couple of weeks ago, a couple of people were put off work at Stacy's office just because of a lack of work in their departments. And so everybody has been tiptoeing around on eggshells, thank you. Wondering if they're going to be next. And so Stacy and I prayed about it. And there was that natural thing of wanting to say, God, You see our needs. We, you know, woe is me. This is not looking good. What are we going to do? And I had a little check. And I thought, no. That's not the way to do it. And we said, God, You open the door for Stacy to get this job in the first place. Your fingerprints were clearly on it. We went into it prayerfully. You open the door. You've had her there. If You want her to stay there, we know that You can keep her there. And if You want her to move on into something else, please close that door and open another one for her. And so we gained perspective. Earlier this week, Stacy heard that she's being retrenched, which still comes as a shock and a disappointment, but in a way we were prepared because we had already got God's perspective on it, that He's in control. And so it's been a disappointment, but I'm trusting that if God's closed this door, that He's going to open another door for her. He's going to guide us. He is our provider. I found it ironic that last Sunday I prayed over the giving. And I prayed for jobs and for better jobs. I think God's lining up a better job for us. But you can see how, if you start with your problems, you can just drown in your problems. You start with God and you get His perspective. Something changes in your heart. that you don't have to stress. Everything's going to be fine. God is in control. He has a good plan for us. He is a loving Father. Jesus is a friend closer than a brother. He's our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our counselor, and our helper. And so when we start with Him, we can get in the flow and recognize what God wants to do in our lives. And so I want to encourage you this morning, friends, to do that in your times of prayer. To be still and consciously know that He is God as your starting point, and see how that changes your prayer life and your perspective on life. And so I'd like to give you the opportunity now to do that. We're here. We've got a few minutes left. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes in prayer? And I'm just going to give you a minute or two of silence. And I want you to just take a moment and think about what the things are that are heavy on your heart. And then to climb up that mountain, to be still and know that He is God. And after a minute or two of that, then I'll pray. So Father God, as we acknowledge You as God, as Lord of our lives, I pray that You would just touch each heart here. That You would bring Your perspective to each person's life here. Not just for dealing with the things that are heavy on our hearts, but that You would minister to us from Your heart. Thank You that You've spoken to us this morning through the song that we sang and the word that was shared, that You're calling us by name to rise into the things that You have prepared for us to do in service of You. And so I pray that You help us to get perspective on that as well. We pray that You would bandage wounded hearts. We pray for Your peace, for Your forgiveness, for Your grace and mercy in our lives. And then we pray that You fill us with the love and power that comes through Your Holy Spirit. That You give us the courage to step into the things that You want us to be doing with our lives. And I pray that we would regularly make the time to be still and know that You are God. To regularly put on Your glasses and gain Your perspective on our lives. And pray that You would go with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.